holy of sin, I resign.
My gracious Redeemer,
my Savior, I bow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis thou.
My Jesus.
I love thee. I know that I'm for thee,
my gracious,
my gracious Redeemer, my Savior, I bow. If ever I love thee,
my gracious, for the last time,
my gracious Redeemer, my Savior, at thou. If ever I love,
for the last time,
my Jesus is God.
My gracious,
my gracious Redeemer, my Savior, at
I love
thee, my Jesus is now.
Father God, we bless and worship you. We magnify thy name and we love you. Great is your faithfulness. Great are your mercies toward us and your loving kindness toward us. We love you, we worship you, we thank you for being so good to us. Speak to us. May none of us live the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You may take our seats in the presence of the Lord. What a difference it makes with us, Ida, with the drums. Hallelujah. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
God is good. So we're going to continue with preaching, teaching, healing.
Amen.
Let's read our key golden text. Matthew chapter 9 verse 35. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. Hallelujah. Amen. So Matthew 9:35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So Jesus went about preaching, teaching, and healing. Then Acts chapter 10 verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And then First John chapter 3, verse 8. For whosoever committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. So preaching, teaching, healing is because Jesus spent most of his time in, from Matthew 9:35, doing one thing: preaching, teaching, and healing. Let's look from verse Matthew 9:30. Let's start from 35. Amen. Actually, let's start from 30. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 is what we want. But let's look at the context. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. Because the more people knew it, the less Jesus was able to walk freely. So he didn't want people to know it until the time. Hallelujah. Yeah. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. There was a time that they said, and Jesus could not freely walk among the people because they kept on talking about the miracles. So everybody wanted him. When he entered, they saw him somewhere. That's it. He will not be able to do anything. And when the devils, well, let's look at 32. As they went about, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. Verse 33. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb man spake, and the multitude marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. Pastors would just be preaching. Yes, and the Bible says, and Moses says, no, but Jesus said, I say. And Jesus spoke with authority, not as a scribe, but spoke as one who wrote it himself. Amen. But the Pharisees said, he casted out devils through the prince of devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So Jesus went about preaching, teaching, and healing. So it means that that was the most important thing. If God spent most of his time preaching, teaching, and healing, look at verse 35 again. Look at it in Amplified. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and curing all kinds of disease and every weakness and infirmity. Look at it in NLT. Jesus traveled through all the cities and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And wherever he went, he healed people of every sort of disease and illness. Let's try it in NESB. Jesus was going through all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. That's what he did. Now, why was that the important thing? Why did he spend all his time doing that? We started to read about the importance of preaching, because it attacks the root of man's problems. The root of man's problems is sin, and Jesus' preaching attacked the root of man's problems. The second thing we talked about is what? Because preaching releases the power of God. The Bible says in Romans 1:16, what does the Bible say in Romans 1:16? For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth, the Jew first and also the Greek. Hallelujah. Amen. Then we talked about Because preaching gives hope. Romans 15:4. Preaching gives hope. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Then we talked about the fact that preaching saves lives. People lived to almost 1,000 years. Think about that. People were having outdoor rings at age 800. Imagine, 800 years people are having outdoor. So midlife was 500 years old, 600 years old. That was the midlife, 700 years old. And then Genesis chapter 6. Verse 1 to 3. From verse 1, God said that the wickedness and the evil is too much. Man has corrupted himself and has purpose in his heart to do evil. Because of that, he changed certain things. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, this one, we are talking about it on Wednesday, can't go into that now. Well, and you can find it in 21 Reasons Why You Must Not Be Left Behind. That the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. The sons of God are the direct creation of God. Adam was a son of God, according to Luke, when you read the genealogy. Hallelujah. And then, of course, that's different from Jesus, who is God himself, manifested in the flesh, the only begotten. Angels are referred to as sons of Elohim, when the sons of God. Hallelujah. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, or he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. So God cuts the age of man because due to the things which I don't want to start talking about, people corrupted themselves. Mixtures took place. Evil took place. They were taught how to kill, how to make swords, how to do charms, how to do all sorts of things. It was a terrible time on earth. Murder, violence. So that's because of the sons of God coming into the daughters of women, all that stuff. So God said, look, it was too much. My spirit will not strive with man forever. And because of that, man is now going to be 120 years so that the evil will not be too much. And then you even see verse 4 to even explain what the sons of God thing meant. There were giants in the earth in those days and also after that. When the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men and they bare children to them, the days of our years are 80. When you see 80, it means what? 20 times 3. 80 is 20 times 4. So the score is 20. 80, 80, 50. Hallelujah. So 80 is 20 plus 10. That's what? 60 plus 10, 70 years. So the days of your years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. When we die, we fly away. The spirit and the soul leave the body. Ecclesiastes talks about a silver bowl. How many are getting what I'm saying so far? So God cut man's a lifespan from 900 years to 120 years to 80 years, between 70 and 80. But by God's grace, God has been gracious. If you realize, it's very rare to get people live past 120 years. Yeah. 114, 115, you hardly get it because God cut it to 120. And the average people survive to age 80. But you have one or two outliers, like you and I. Glory. Amen. I say glory to God. Amen. You and I, yes. Nobody here is going to live to 80 years old only. We are going to live past 80. We are going to go to 100. We are going to go to 110. We are going to go to 120. And We can end there. At least I'll be okay ending at 120. At least that's what the Bible said. He said up to 120 years old. And by the grace of God, at one age 120, we are not weak and in bed.
No.
God forbid. 120, we are in bed and being nursed. Jesus, forgive. Never. I refuse it in Jesus' name. By 120, you are dying strong. Amen. At 120, you say, God, it's time. Let me go. May you and I say that. Amen. God, it's time. I want to go at 120. Yeah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So we talked about the preaching of the word saving lives from hell. Hallelujah. Because when our when we are saved, our spirit is redeemed and we will not go to hell any longer. By the power of preaching, our souls are saved from eternal damnation. When preaching has saved our soul, other areas of our lives begin to be affected as well. After the soul prospers, our health will affect our salvation or be affected by our salvation. Our financial life is also affected by our salvation.
Amen.
You can, there's one thing to have money and another thing to spend the money. Because people can make money and die or get a disease. That affects their taste buds. So you have the money, but you when you eat anything, there's no taste. So you can buy $1,000 or $1,000 meat. You can buy a $2,000 drink. It will be as if it was a dollar. I'm talking, when I say you, of course, it's to that person, which is none of us. Why? Because that person didn't get the grace of God that gave life. So salvation is total salvation of spirit, soul, and body. Amen. So we talked about that, and that's why we must preach the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
That's why we must preach the gospel. That's why we must tell people about Jesus. Because when we don't tell people about Jesus, they go to hell.
That's right.
Direct. When we don't tell people about Jesus of Nazareth, they go to hell. What do I mean by that? Anyone who is not for Jesus or has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior will go to hell.
Right.
Now, someone, we're talking to some people from another religion, myself and Pastor Elon, and they were trying to talk about the fact that they have a book, and that book takes you to heaven. But Jesus was one of the messengers, and then there was another messenger. What's going on? Thank you. Jesus was a messenger, and there was another messenger. There were a number of messengers. And because there were a number of messengers, each God gave each of the messengers the path. And I said, then Christianity must be counted out because the founder lied. John 14:6.
I
am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So let's remove Christianity from it. The person said, no. I said, yes. What Pastor Lam said, yes. You have to remove it. Hallelujah. Because the reality is that there is only one way. And then Jesus made it clear that you say your God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he is my father. So it's very clear that no one goes to God except through Jesus. It clearly means that if we don't preach the gospel and people die without Jesus Christ, they go to hell.
That's it.
But we are being too judgmental. How can we say? Then we have to question your Christianity because we are talking against Christ's integrity.
That's right.
He didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He said, I am the only way.
Right.
No one goes to God but by him. Now, someone might ask, but what happens to all those who never heard the gospel? It's on my Facebook. I did a small thing on why would a loving God send people to hell? And then, what happens to those who've never heard the gospel? It's clear, it's all in the Bible. Hallelujah.
That's right.
So we must preach the gospel.
Amen.
I said we must tell people about Jesus. Amen. When you see someone and you have the chance to tell them that Jesus loves them, tell them.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Why I try. It is a duty to me. I take it as something that God has given to us as Christians to do. So I'm not happy at all, or I count my week a failed week if I have not told someone that Jesus loves them. Me,
right.
Everyone is different,
right.
Because there is one person who might die and go to hell, and could have gone to heaven if I had spoken to them.
That's right.
So the week has failed if I have a week, whether I've traveled. There's no excuse. I don't, because I could have told people in the plane. I could have told people
That's
elsewhere.
Right.
So there's no excuse,
right.
Unless I'm in a vacuum,
isolated.
Yeah, I'm telling you, because the gospel must be preached. Because
Amen.
The preaching of the gospel saves lives.
Amen.
You see, wild gangsters, wild criminals, criminals, tattoos all over their faces. Killers, they kill at will. But someone will preach the gospel. And the gospel preached to them will touch their hearts and they'll weep like children. And say, I surrender to the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. And they'll surrender to him and give their lives to him. It's the preaching. Only the preaching of the gospel can do that. I said, only the preaching of the gospel can just change someone from the inside out. That's why you and I must preach the gospel. It doesn't mean we must have a pulpit. But we can preach out there.
Yes.
Yesterday, we're saying things to people. We're telling people about Jesus.
Yes.
The nice thing, anytime I get the opportunity, I don't just say, Jesus loves you and died for your sins. Yes, that's perfect. But if you can engage them, engage them. Oh, do you believe in Jesus? If they stop, take it. Engage them. Because God is counting on us.
Amen.
Angels cannot preach the gospel. In the future, when Christ comes and the second coming, before he comes the second time after the rapture, a few angels will be preaching. But we are the only ones who can preach. Apart from one or two visions Christ gives people, who is going to preach the gospel? Who is going to tell them? That's why we have this dress down. In fact, this dress down is supposed to be because we'll go to the streets and tell people about Jesus. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Because, so the month of evangelism is just an opportunity. But the month of evangelism should be daily evangelism, every day or weekly at least.
That's right.
But saints, it's not easy for many saints to do this. So we've organized a month to evangelize.
Amen.
What do you think?
Yeah.
And it's not easy to evangelize. There were times I'll go by myself to the mall. When you are downtown with people who are less privileged or in the streets, it's easier. Jesus loves you, died for your sins. Once in a while, you get someone say, get out! Someone almost slapped me. But Sarge came and said, hey, the person went that way. Hallelujah. So it's easier, but when you go to the mall or to the affluent areas, sometimes I have the trust. I have to psych myself up. I say, oh God, help me. The shame is ready. If I come, pretend you are giving me tracts. I don't want that Jesus. Get away. You hate you. Come on, leave me. And then curse words. So, then get away. No problem. Jesus still loves you. But we have to do it.
Amen.
We got to do it. So then when you are downtown, you get people who would take it, maybe throw it out. But I'm not worried about the throwing down. I'm worried about making sure they hear what I say. That Jesus loves you, died for your sins, wants you to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Even if he throws it away, they've heard it. Nevertheless, those who say, kill it off, I will not allow them to go without hearing Jesus loves you and died for your sins. There were times, oh yes, I've said it, and it will ring in their hearts. There was a time that I went to a casino, Mystic Lake Casino, in Minnesota. When I went there, and it was true, so I've mentioned the name, it's the truth. When you are on video, you have to be careful what you say, otherwise before you realize letters and all sorts of things. But it's the truth, so. So I went to Mystic Lake, and I was telling myself and my cousin, Pastor Fred, we're giving flyers to people, Mystic Lake. Jesus loves you, died for your sins. And definitely there was someone who went to report. So security came. This is private property. I said, show me, where's the sign? So we went back and forth. And then as we finished, I said, anyway, by the way, Jesus loves you and died for your sins. No, won't take it, but they heard it. No, I left. Because the gospel must be preached. Now, someone will say, it was failed because they said, get away. No. Benny Hinn was brought a certain bad guy who was a very terrible guy in Lebanon or Palestine. He was giving an example of a guy, about salvation. So he brought this guy to his show. And the guy said that he was converted. Now, Benny Hinn asked, how was he converted? I think it was Benny Hinn. The guy said he was leaving his apartment when an American pastor or an American was telling another person somewhere else that Jesus loves you and died for your sins. So he was not being spoken to directly, but hearing those words rang in his mind and heart until he gave his life to Jesus Christ. So there are seeds being sown.
Amen.
And some people will water the seed. So maybe I'll go and talk to someone, and the person will say, I want to give my life to Christ. Maybe it's because there's been a seed that was planted already. So the fact that you tell someone Jesus loves them and they reject you does not mean that you failed. It's God who takes his word and performs it. It's God who says that my word which comes out of my mouth will not return unto me void, but it will accomplish the thing I have sent it to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's very important because it saves lives.
Hallelujah.
I said it saves lives.
Amen.
The preaching of the gospel saves lives.
Amen.
What do you think? And some will say, yes, I can do the small I can. But you know you can do a big thing. Do you know you can, you do you know God can use you to win hundreds of thousands and millions of people?
Amen, I believe it.
Do you want to know how? Support the crusade.
That's it.
The Jesus Heals campaign. Ben MP partner, Healing Jesus campaign partner. Just support it. Be a partner of it. And your money will save someone. Some of these partnership of crusades are an open ticket for a ticket for an open heaven. Anytime you and I get the opportunity to win the lost or to support salvation of souls, we don't realize that we are actually placing ourselves in an opportunity for an open heaven. Because the only thing that at least we know written in the Bible that brings joy to heaven is when one lost soul, one, how much more a thousand, one lost soul gives their lives to Christ. I remember in El Salvador when we went the first time, the crowd, the number of people, the hundreds of people that came, I said, wow, 300 or 400, 500, whatever, 1,000, whatever, times, 1,000 times joy in heaven. Because if one will bring joy, then 1,000 will bring how many? How much joy? Thousands of joy. Why? Because people are perishing. Satan hates us. The Bible says that hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Gehenna, the lake of fire, was prepared for the devil and his angels, not for humans. So hell was only a certain size to contain the fallen angels, because sin brought forth hell from the devil. But the Bible says that hell has opened up her mouth, has enlarged herself and opened up her mouth to receive thee at thy coming.
Yeah.
So it means that now hell is being expanded by the lost souls dying. But you and I must depopulate hell.
Amen.
We must keep hell from expanding and fill heaven.
Amen.
The preaching saves lives. I said the preaching saves lives.
Amen.
Can't you see? Bishop was preaching and talking about Isaiah 55:14. Bishop was preaching and talking about the evangelists. Who are the evangelists we know? Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, Reinhard Bonnke, and then Maurice Aurelio. How many of these people you have mentioned died early? Many of them, I'm sure, were saying, God, it's time, let me go. They couldn't go. It's not easy to go like that. When you are winning souls, go off where? You can't go easily. Isaiah 5:14. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened up her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. So hell hath enlarged herself and opened up her mouth without measure. But you and I must make sure that hell's mouth is closed. Do you know that there are many people? I was talking to someone and I was shocked to hear that there are certain parts of the world or Africa or even Ghana where no one knows what Jesus means. The name Jesus, no one knows what it means. But they know about other religions. But the name Jesus or Yesu, they've never heard it before. They've not even dreamt about it. When I heard it, I said, I want to go there. When I go, I'll tell you about it when I come back.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because they must hear about Jesus. Yeah. Otherwise, they die into a Christless eternity. I said what? A Christless eternity. So I don't know whether I'm explaining to you the importance that God has given you and I the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
To reconcile the world to himself. We are talking about the preaching that saves lives.
Amen.
Yeah. The preaching that saves lives.
Amen.
So I try my best to say Jesus loves you to someone.
Amen.
And if I don't, then the weak have failed the weak. What do you think? Look at Second Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look at from verse 16. Am I preaching to someone? And I use NLT for this. Wherefore, henceforth, okay. So we have stopped evaluating ourselves by what the world thinks about them. Once I mistakenly thought of Christ that way, as though he were merely a human being. How differently I think about him now. What this means is that those who become Christians become new persons. They are not the same anymore, for the old life is gone and a new life has begun.
Amen.
All this newness of life is from God, who brought us back to himself. This is where we are getting to. Through what Christ did, and God has given us the task of reconciling people to him.
Amen.
For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. God is not counting anyone's sins against them. Nevertheless, if they don't know Christ, their sins will be counted against them. But God is not counting our sins against us. That's why Christ died for us. And that's why there's salvation. This is the wonderful message he has given us to tell others. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if this verse I just read is not yours, then the whole of Corinthians, all the letters, the blessings of Corinthians, all the promises cannot apply if this verse does not apply.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
For God, yes, we are Christ's ambassadors. What is an ambassador? a representative of one government to another.
Yes.
We are representatives of the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
To earth.
Amen.
So we must know about the kingdom of heaven, the country we are representing.
Right.
Because the Bible says that we seek for a country whose builder and maker is God. We are Christ's ambassadors, and God is using us to speak to you. We urge you, as though Christ himself were here pleading with you, be reconciled to God. That's how we must talk to people about Jesus. It is an urgent thing. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Righteousness is right standing with God. Righteousness is being made right with God.
Amen.
That's what righteousness means. Meaning that I'm right with God. I have a fellowship with God. I have right standing with God.
Amen.
That's the task God has given to us.
Amen.
That's why I consider it. But it's unfortunate that many of the saints don't take the scripture as it is. Yeah. Isn't it? Am I overzealous here?
No.
I'm not being overzealous. I'm just following the Bible. So, and because, you see, you and I, even if we can't go on, that's why I do the crusades. Even if we can't go to a crusade, you can support Bishop's Crusade, and you can pray for us as we go. And when you get the opportunity, at least say to yourself, I'll give a tract. I'll say something to someone at least once a week for a start.
Amen.
Sergeant Bearden, what he does is that when he's going to, Sergeant Bearden is just one of the members in Minneapolis, my outreach partner. When we are going, sometimes when he's going to the filling station, and he goes there, you have a tract. He will first ask, what is your name? If your name fits into the Bible, then you say, oh, you know about Joseph in the Bible? Yeah, then he will fit it in. And then give the tract and say, Jesus loves you. Yeah, you can just give it to the person. Just say to yourself, okay, I'm about to be shamed. The reproach of Christ, the cross of Christ, I'm about to be shamed. It's okay. Jesus loves you. I'll tell you a story and then we'll move to the next. I went to Amsterdam with my brother. We were on transit for about 8 hours. So I said, let's go and see the red line district. I wanted to go. Why not? You want to see what they are talking about. But it's the daytime, so there's no naked woman. Even if it was at night, I think what I saw during the day, I don't want to see what is at night. When I went there, the pictures, the postcards, you can just see Satan lives here, and Satan took the picture. Satan himself. You see genital mixtures. What I saw there, I'm talking about just the postcards. I didn't see any woman, just the postcards. And the alien things. How much more at night? No, it's enough. Because if this was during the day, what would be at night? So we went to a coffee shop. And they had coffee. They had weed. India hemp, any country. So they were asking, do you want weed? When I was in the world, one of my plans was that I'll go to Amsterdam and taste all the different weed. When I was in the world, I'll taste all the countries, because Amsterdam legal, free, every. But as a Christian, I couldn't do that. So I asked for coffee, my brother to ask for coffee. Then I saw this Amsterdam, is it Dutch? Yes, Dutch lady. And I was chatting with her. And usually when you are chatting with people like that, they feel that you ask them a few questions for the evening. as an unbeliever, I know how it goes. When I was an unbeliever, those were the things that, I mean, you know where it's going. But as I started to talk to the person, I said, do you know about Jesus? From the smile, oh, yeah, from the smile, we don't do those things here. We don't do those things here. Then hostility, hostile. So we finished the coffee. If I had asked her before the coffee, I would not have drank the coffee. The change. I just said, simple question, do you know about Jesus? So what am I saying? I'm saying that it is not a small thing. And because that they say, look, we don't do those things here. There are people of different nationalities, people of different religions. We don't do that here. We don't. So you and I must say to ourselves, the reproach of Christ. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to be ashamed for Jesus. Master courage and say it. In the plane, I'm always saying to myself, oh God, please, don't bring it to my mind. When it's packed, don't bring it to my mind. Do you understand what I mean? Don't bring it to my mind, because don't tell me to tell people in the plane. But when it comes to my mind, I have to find a way to bring up a conversation. Oh, so are you going home? No, I'm doing this, my whatever. Then they will definitely ask, what about you? Then I'll sit and I'll try to find a way to bring church in. Are you religious? Then we take off. Uber, I'm always telling the Uber drivers, 99% of them, I'll talk about Jesus. I'll ask them about religion. Why not? We are saving lives. You can find strategies at work. Just be careful so you don't get fired. They will fire you. Nevertheless, if I ask you, how was your weekend? And you tell me, what did you do? I went bowling, I went this, I went that. And you ask me and I say, I went to church. No problem. If you ask me, oh, church details, I'll give you the details. That one, we have no problems. You ask for it. But if you start talking about Christianity, they will fire you. What do you think? It's wisdom. Okay. Let's start the next one. So we've talked about why preaching is important. Now, why is teaching important? Matthew 1, 21 to 24. Why is teaching important? 21 to 24. And she will... Sorry, Mark 1, 20, Mark 1, 21 to 24. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. You see, you and I, we must know the word so much that we can teach or speak with authority. Angel Gabriel said, hey, Zachariah, do you know where I came from that you're asking me how can this be? I come directly from the presence of God. So when I speak, I know what I'm talking about. So in the same way, when you and I are in front of God, we are in the presence of God, and we speak to him, and we are telling people, there's going to be authority. Amen. Because we came from his throne room, and we are speaking with authority. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes who knew nothing about God, just the letter. And they that were in their there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. That's in Daniel. Now, all of a sudden, Jesus is minding his own business, entered the synagogue in Capernaum, teaching. As he's teaching, someone is shouting and screaming. Why? Because teaching drives away demonic activity. Teaching, yes. Teaching drives demons away and brings healing. Just the teaching of the word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Teaching drives away demonic activity. Hallelujah. What do you think?
Amen.
Now, I remember there was a time. Is everything okay? I said, we're just finishing. I don't want to be distracted. Okay? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Mark, yes. How many are getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, I remember there was a time I was having a convention in St. Paul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And as I was having the convention, there was a certain person. There were a number of people. As I was actually teaching on fear. Fear. Just fear. And as I was teaching, there was a particular, there were a number of two or three people. They started to shake. I didn't say a word about in Jesus' name receive nothing. They started to shake. Fell off the floor, on the floor, and were foaming in the mouth, some of them. Just the teaching. I said the teaching drives away demons. Now, many demons are driven away from people without them knowing. Now, someone will say, no, by Christian, a demon cannot inhabit a Christian spirit, but can affect the mind or the body. Peter, Satan affected his mind. That's why Jesus said, get thee behind me.
Yes.
Now, also, Ananias.
Yes.
Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie against the Holy Spirit? You have not lied unto men, but unto God. Hallelujah. So, the devil can influence people's minds. Now, how can the devil influence people's minds? By thought processes. How people think, how people talk, how people even process things and their belief systems and sometimes the things they believe. Now, Pastor Elam, are you okay?
Yeah.
Sometimes how you what you believe can affect your future. Do you get what I mean? Yeah. Meaning that there are some people who have a certain mindset. I will not tolerate nonsense from anyone. Let's take a person who is at work and says that for me, I have to stand for my rights. I don't tolerate nonsense from anyone. You'll be at a level, you'll never go up at work.
Right.
Satan has kept you from progressing. Simple. The mindset, that's all. But as you hear the teaching of the word, that demon that gave that mindset will be taken away.
That's right.
I'll not accept anything from anyone. I have to stand by my rights. For my rights. As for that one, there are many opportunities to stand for your rights. You'll be kept like this. If you are lucky. Also, you are a man or you are a woman. Let's start with women. For me, no nonsense. There was a lady who was divorced. On a honeymoon, the husband said, come, let's fellowship, or come and do something for me. If she didn't want that, she could have said it in a nice way that, you know what, please, in my previous relationships, things were a bit tough. So please, just be sweet to me. Hey, you can't tell me what to do. Do you know what you're talking about? I don't take nonsense from anyone. That's why I'm divorced. I was divorced in the past, and I'm not going to accept this. Walked away from the marriage. So Satan has a spirit of divorce for that woman. Following her. It will always happen. Second marriage. I know some people, 3, 4, 5 marriages. Look. So it's a thought process. But it's only the word of God that comes in that will take it out.
Yeah.
So when we are saying that demons affect people's minds, there are many demons that affect people's minds. Affect how they think. For example, there are some people who have been Christians for a long time, but I know some people who say, I don't work, I don't do this particular work, I'm waiting for my type of job. And they are always homeless. Because they are waiting for their type of job. So Satan has found a way to affect the mind. And these people I'm talking about, they don't have a job. They don't have a place to live. So Satan has found a way to bring a stronghold, a thought process to destroy the person. Sometimes Satan can put a spirit that he knows that divorce is there to happen. For a man, I'm a male, right? I'm male chauvinist. I am the boss. I'm the head. Or I can do what I want. I can sleep with whoever I want. Satan has the man in a certain position. And it will destroy him eventually. Pornography. Lust. I'm into porn. Kept the man there. But when the teaching comes, I can't even say man there, women also do it too. Yeah, these days women are doing it a lot more. And masturbation and all those things. Hallelujah. Am I preaching to somebody? So imagine Satan has that in the person. But when the teaching comes, the teaching smashes out the devil. You see that when Jesus was teaching, the devil in the man was troubled and was being tormented. Yes. So in the same way, that spirit, now we don't hear the screaming. The devil just, you feel agitation, or you just feel uncomfortable, or you feel a release. Sometimes that's how the devil is taken out. But it only comes through teaching. It does not come through any of these meetings, all these different meetings, help meetings. Those things don't do anything. I can sit with someone and for the whole day try to convince the person. It won't change their minds unless the teaching, the preaching comes, the word comes. Because the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare, 2 Corinthians 10, 3, 4, for the weapons, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Hallelujah. I thought you'd have put it there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, 4. Hallelujah. How many get what I'm saying? So, Satan also gives people a certain mindset that I know it all. I know the scriptures. I know the Bible. Or I don't need anyone to explain anything to me. Or I know my job more than anyone. And because of that, he is able to keep them at par. Par is average. That's the best par. Because we all will be learning. We never stop learning. So those who feel they know. In fact, the Bible says, if you think you know, it shows you don't know. So it shows that whatever we are doing, whether we are working, whether at work, whether at home, whatever we are doing, we must always learn. Amen. The thing that doesn't learn or grow dies. Hallelujah. So you can die, your ministry can die, your job, profession, your excelling can die, your career can die. Even no matter the profession, there's always something more to learn.
Yes.
Always. There's always a course to take.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it's very important that you and I, we take the teaching very seriously, because the teaching drives demons away.
Amen.
It does.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And you realize that most of the time, let me give you two verses. Luke 5:15. Luke 6, 7. And then Proverbs 4, 20 and 22. So, and he, Luke 5, 15. Is that it? Luke 16. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed of their infirmities. So you realize that the hearing came first and then the healing.
Amen.
To hear and to be healed. So a lot of time Jesus taught and then healed. Then what's the next one? Luke 6:7. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath, and that they might find an accusation against him. No, okay, this is not. This says that multitudes came to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. Hallelujah. That's fine. Proverbs 4:20-22. Luke 6:18. Before the last one. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went out virtue from him, etc., etc. Okay. Proverbs 4:20-22. Yes. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Verse 22. Let them not depart, for they are life unto them that find them, and health to all their flesh. So the word of God is health to our flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. The word of God is health to our flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, let's expose ourselves to the preaching and the teaching of the word. Amen. Because the teaching of the word takes out wrong ideas, takes out evil things, takes out bad advice, takes out bad information and bad habits. The word of God takes it out. That's why Romans 12:1-2 says that I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to prove what is that good, what is that perfect and acceptable will of God. It's able to prove it. Hallelujah. Amen. No matter the demonic activity, no matter the problem, no one can say, oh, there's a witch in my family, or there's a wizard in my country or my town that is affecting me. The word of God drives away demons themselves. This man, demons were in him. Yeah. There was no witch sent. Which one is more terrifying? A demon in someone affecting a person, or a witch who uses demon power? So if just the preaching of the word would drive out a demon, then that witch power will just be dissolved with ease. Amen. I'm not out of word, I'm just out of time. Shall we stand to our feet to continue, God willing? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, we give you praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we bless your name. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Oh, yes. Your word, oh Lord, I can stand secure. Carve upon my heart your truth that sets me free. According to your word, oh Lord, be it unto me. Oh, be it
it unto me
according to your word.
According to your word.
According to your promise.
According to your promise.
I can stand secure.
I can stand secure.
Carve upon my heart.
Carve upon my heart.
The truth that sets me free.
The truth that sets me free.
According to your word.
According to your word, oh. Unto me,
according to your word,
according to your word,
according to your promise,
according to your promise,
I can stand secure,
I can stand secure,
carve upon my heart,
carve upon my heart,
the truth that sets me free,
the truth that sets me free.
Praying. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you are here, you are watching, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to be born again. I want my sins forgiven. I want to be washed with the blood of Jesus. If you are here like that, I want you to just raise your hands and repeat after me. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father.
I come to you. Just as I am.
Just as I am.
I believe in Jesus.
I confess Jesus Christ as Lord.
I believe he died on the cross. His blood was shed.
For my sins.
I believe. That God raised him from the dead.
Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Forgive me.
For all my sins.
Cleanse me from all unrighteousness.
From today.
I belong to Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Father God, we bless and worship you and we thank you for how good you've been. Thank you for salvation. In Jesus' name. It's now time for us to partake.